when I took the medicine, it worked so well for me and it alleviated so many symptoms that I thought, oh, you take the medicine and then you're good. Okay, well, moving right along. And I just went on about my business, not realizing that I didn't take enough time to gain the skills that I needed. And that's something that I'm doing now.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jenny Friedman. I'm an ADHD coach and the host of the show.
Yeah, we need a lot more people talking about ADHD because it's
invisible.
If you had a pair of glasses that can make you see the invisible, what would ADHD look like?
If you're wondering right now where your glasses are, you're probably in the right place.
This show has a mission:
demystify and destigmatize ADHD once and for all.
Stuff isn't rocket science, people.
Today, we are here again with Renee Brooks from blackgirllostkeys.com. Hello, Renee.
Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Great. I want to just start the show first with a little bit of an apology to everyone for the last episode, but explain why I have not deleted it and kept it, because the last time we spoke was live on air. And it didn't go exactly the way it was planned. And I think that's okay. I think it's, you know, that's life. I've had some positive feedback that there was some valuable things in there. Plus, I just feel like it's authentic. It's really what happened. And that's a really good sort of coaching moment to take, you know, life as it comes. And sometimes things don't work out the way we intended them to, or the way we planned them to. And that's, you know, that's okay. We can move forward even having made a mistake or been expecting something to happen that didn't happen and make the best of it. So I just decided to leave it up. What do you think?
You know, I think that's a really great idea, especially like that's such an ADHD thing. Like, a lot of us really grate on our feet when things like that happen, because especially when we're untreated and symptomatic, you find yourself in a lot of situations like that, only it's not due to an accident like it was this time. It's due to a lack of preparation. It's fun. Like, you know, at my house, we talk about the difference between a true accident and a created accident. A true accident is an accident, like a wreck on the freeway. A created accident is when you didn't manage your symptoms and some consequence happened as a result of that. Like, I don't know, you forgot to make the phone call and you didn't have a service on time or something like that. Like what we call those here is that's a created accident and it's okay, but we need to do something to prevent that symptom the next time. So we kind of end up doing a recap and saying, okay, well, it went wrong when you decided that it would be okay to stay up and play the video game. You should have set your timer and gone to sleep instead. So next time, if you do that, you won't encounter that problem, because otherwise, you know, you can stay in that cycle of symptoms forever. And, you know, of course, Cleo and I are still learning how to manage our symptoms because we were such late diagnoses. Well, you know, I guess I've always thought we were super late diagnoses. But now that I'm hearing about people in their 50s, 60s, 70s getting diagnosed, I don't feel like I'm such a late diagnosis anymore. Exactly. I really feel kind of lucky.
I think that for the listeners who are at this point going, what are you guys talking about? The last episode was a live episode that we recorded. And the mistake was we didn't do a dry run beforehand. So we didn't really know how to use the service so that we could get up and speaking with each other easily. You know, I think had we done a dry run, we would have seen that there was some connection problems.
Yes.
And so anyone that listened to the last episode, episode 21, would say, this was not good. But
I believe the words we used initially were disaster, hot mess.
I felt really bad because I also was not prepared to have a lot of dead air because I think I talk a lot. I think I'm really chatty. So I figured, oh, no big deal. I can just talk until, but boy, does a minute go by slowly when you're waiting for someone else to join you. I was like, what do I talk about?
I felt so bad for you because I'm like, oh my God, this poor woman. You could just feel that you were like, I had so many ideas for what to do if this happened and they are all escaping me. They are gone.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I even had some people tell me, wow, if I'd known you'd be like hanging out to dry like that, I would have called in. I'm like, well, next time call in.
If any of us would have known, I mean, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, connect, come on.
Yeah.
So and anyway. I can hear you and you're like, she'll be here any minute, I guess. I mean, is she dead?
Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, I'd like to also say that you're absolutely have been one of my favorite guests to have on because we've really experienced a lot with you through the first episode was, I believe, my episode 5, where we explored having ADHD and curiosity that comes with ADHD, the unbridled curiosity, yes. Rather. And so that was like a really popular episode. People still are playing that one a lot. I think it's a
wow.
I think it's worth realizing that that is such a huge people. You know how curiosity can kill the cat. You know, like it gets them in trouble sometimes, and other times it's their superpower. They can
yes,
because you were curious, you discovered you know penicillin. You know, so it can serve you well.
And exactly.
And I'm always fascinated by curiosity because for me, I shut it down. Like, I don't even mean to. Just my subconscious is like, don't worry about that. Moving on to what I got to do. What time is it? What needs to be done by when? You know, it's funny. That's why I say it's just I think ADHD is really by design. I don't see it as a disease or something that's really wrong. I just think it's really different because it seems to be universally different.
Yes. Well, you know, the thing about it is like the vast majority of the time, I really enjoy having ADHD. It's only when I'm symptomatic and it has a negative result that I really get upset. Like, and the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is sometimes you just don't know. You don't know that what you're doing is a result of being symptomatic because the very fact that it's a symptom doesn't allow you to track. As you know, I put my little craft room together for when I'm crocheting and when I'm podcasting, so I have a safe place to do that in without little barking doggies and little giggling children and inquisitive right. husbands. Now I just go in my room and shut the door and, you know, crochet and listen to my audiobooks or whatever. But the thing about that is I'm highly susceptible to hyperfocus. And when you have a hyperfocus problem, you can literally spend hours doing something and you don't know hours have passed. Mm-hmm. So I looked at my clock at about 8:00 and I decided I was going to crochet for maybe just a little while longer. And then I was going to get up and go hang out with my husband for a couple hours. I got up to go, you know, sit down with him and watch a movie or whatever. And it was like midnight and he was asleep. And I didn't even realize how much time had passed. And when it happened, you know, he's been complaining about this for a really long time. Like, you just, you know, like, you just leave me and I'm just by myself and bored. And I've been going, you must be crazy. Like, that's not happening. I'm not spending too much time, you know, doing stuff. I'm just working. He just needs to understand how busy I am. And so when I referred to the clock last night, because usually I don't check the time, but since I looked at the clock when I said, okay, I'll go, you know, hang with him in a little while because it's still early, I knew how much time had passed without me even realizing it.
Right.
And I had to go back and say, you know, this was on a night when I was intentionally trying to make time to spend time with him. I know there are nights when I'm like, eh, whatever, I'll just hang out in here tonight. And I don't try to spend any time with him. And I thought, you know, he was right. Oh, I hate it when he's right.
Yeah.
God.
So, you know, the other thing that the other episode that we did together was when you had heard an episode of mine about vertical heterophoria, you said, wait a minute, those symptoms are my symptoms. And you went and got checked out. And turns out you have vertical heterophoria. And so are undergoing treatment for that. And I was curious how you've been making out since you've been wearing that glasses.
Great still. I still have to get the glasses, the official glasses. So I'm still wearing the weird looking ones. But as far as pain levels, like my pain is like 150% better.
Wow.
It's nothing like it used to be.
Wow.
Like it's funny because my dad hasn't seen me since I got my glasses, and I was talking to him today. It was the first time he'd seen me since I got him. And he stopped me mid-sentence. He said, what is wrong with your glasses? And I said, remember when I told you about that eye condition? And he just looked at me and was like, oh, okay. So now I'm up. I can be more active again. I've lost 5 pounds.
Woohoo!
I know, right? Every girl's dream. Everybody's going to go get glasses now.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I'm thrilled for you. And then we did the live show.
Thank you.
Which brings us to now, which...
Yes.
I thought now that we have a moment to get into it maybe a little better, is there something about routine? Like, what specifically were you thinking about when you said you wanted to talk about that?
Well, what I was thinking is that I wanted to talk about why we would even want to establish a routine. Like, why would that be necessary? And like, for me, as someone who has an issue with time blindness and with being able to note the passage of time, it's important to have set things that I do. Like, okay, I might have a difficult night sleeping, but I know when I get up, I need to take my medicine, eat something, and then I can start my day. And that's something I can do no matter what time I'm getting up. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it's not always been that way then?
Not at all. And I would get behind on, you know, taking medicine, and that makes you even more symptomatic, which makes you, you know, just absolutely crazy after a while, because, you know, you can't keep bouncing back and forth between being consistent and inconsistent without everything kind of falling apart.
So when would you say that you started to realize you were capable of creating a routine like this? Like having something be like, okay, no matter when I wake up, I'm going to do X, Y, Z.
Well, you know, it all started because of needing to find a way to make sure my medicine gets taken. A lot of people talk about, you know, taking medicine breaks and things like that. And I always was a believer that, you know, if I chose to take my ADHD medicine that day, fine. If I didn't choose to take it that day, you know, I just have a little bit of an off-kilter day and that would be fine. And I realized after a while that when you don't take the medicine consistently, it's kind of like, remember when you were a kid and you would build something and then somebody else would come through and stomp on it and wreck it?
Yeah.
That's kind of what you're doing to yourself when you're taking your medicine one day and not taking it the next. Like, you're building things up on the day you take the medicine. On the day you don't take the medicine, you come through and knock it all down. And you don't get anywhere. You don't have anything to continuously build on because you're up and you're down and you're up and you're down and you're up and you're down.
It was you wanting to take the medicine. It wasn't because of like your job or, you know, I find a lot of people come to me when they've realized, wow, I need consistency because of my job or because of my family.
Well, you know, I haven't been able to work for some time now. And I'm looking at, you know, rebuilding so that I can get back to work and be consistent at work. And I'm wondering now in retrospect, how much of not consistently having those medicines and taking those medicines, how much of an effect did that have? Mm. And it's not an intentional thing. It's not like I just said, well, screw it, I'm not going to take that medicine. Like, I don't know if people realize what a challenge it is to keep your medicine consistently for some people who have ADHD. The way that we have to go about getting our medication is not the best way to work things for someone with ADHD. You can't fill a controlled substance without a paper script. So every month, or however your doctor writes them for you, you have to show up at your doctor's office and you have to get your script, then you have to go fill them. And for those of us, like, you know, when I'm working full time, that's a huge challenge. Yeah. Like, that's no joke. You're talking about having to work your full-time job and try to get into your doctor's office to get a physical script.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very challenging. And, you know, of course you never remember to do it until you're like taking your last pill last day. So then you're out of medicine and you have to wait until you can get to the doctor's office. And sometimes you can go for 2 or 3 weeks. Well, that 2 or 3 week lapse, no job, no employer wants to hear, oh, well, I'm sorry, I've been a little inconsistent, boss. It's just because I haven't been able to go get my medicine. Like, I really wish they would reconsider the way that they have those drugs filled. It's really not conducive to the way that the ADHD mind works. And it's really doing the ADHD community a disservice.
Yeah, as long as you have an ID to pick it up, I don't really get why you have to physically show up with the paper script. Why can't they just...
Neither do I.
I understand you need an ID. I understand you need to prove you are you. But what's the difference if they just, you know, faxed it over? I don't understand that.
I don't see the difference either.
No.
And the irony of it is, it's not like you personally have to pick up that script, because anybody can pick it up for you. They just have to show their ID. Like, I've picked my husband's up. He's picked mine up. It's not a problem. We don't even have the same last name.
Are you kidding me?
No, that's the irony of it all. If I could, the first time I went to pick it up for him, I'm like, they're probably not going to give it to me. But I'm at the pharmacy picking up mine. So let me just try.
Right.
They were like, oh, sure. Here, sign here. Have a great day. And I'm like,
that's really crazy. I figured it's whoever picks it up is what you should care about.
No, they don't care. They don't care who picks it up. Just as long as you take a paper script, I could go pick up your medicine as long as I sign for it.
Wow, that's really wild. So there's room for improvement. Anyone listening to this that can positively impact the situation, please do. And get back to us, because that's pretty crazy. That's there's absolutely the forgetting to refill, forgetting to make the doctor's appointment can take weeks. Once you get the appointment going and getting the script, then you got to take it to the, I mean, each step of the way is a big challenge for someone that's especially severely impacted by their symptoms.
Don't get me wrong. You don't have to have a whole appointment. Like, I can just call and tell my doctor's office, look, I'm out of drugs. I need you to write me a script. And they'll write it. But most doctor's offices have a 48-hour policy. You know, you can't just call and say, I want a script, and they write it up for you that day. You
right.
know, there's an order to how things have to be done.
See, and but if you don't have ADHD, a lot of people would sit there and go, well, what's the big deal? You know,
yeah.
They don't understand that it is a challenge to remember and then to organize the leaving work and getting to where you got to go and pick them up and then go get them filled. And then every time there's a transition from one activity to another, you are inviting distraction and you're inviting the whole ramping up process that I think, you know, a lot of people just don't realize
yes.
exists. They just don't understand it.
No, they don't know what it's like to say, I need to leave the house by such and such a time and know that they're going to leave the house by that time. Like that's a luxury. That's not something that I usually can get. And I'm really bad with transitions. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I find that most people with ADHD are transitioning is really, really hard. Coming off of an activity, it can be really hard if you're really engaged.
Especially if I'm going from something that I'm really enjoying to
yeah.
something that I don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll be like, oh, I got to go do that thing. Oh, God, that sucks. It's going to be this. It's going to be. And like, I don't think anybody without ADHD realizes how much of a buildup everything is in your mind and how it just looms. Like, at 3:00, I have to go do this thing that I don't want to do.
Right. Everyone experiences what you just said to some extent, but I think it's the persistence of that being a challenge coupled with the intensity of it. That's the
yes.
difference. That's the difference. Yes. Everybody goes, ugh, I don't want to do whatever. But to actually come off of doing something that you're really engaged with is brutal. And ramping up the motivation and the spark and the, you know, the initiating yourself into another action is mentally draining to a point that I just don't think is appreciated. If I can put
no,
it
I mean,
longer than that.
Everything, like everything that you, maybe not the most exciting thing, but it's still a necessity, is such, it's like you have to drag yourself kicking and screaming to do it. And your heart is in the right place. You really want to do the right thing, but you, like some days you just can't force yourself to do it. And people think it's an intentional thing. It's not an intentional thing. Like, people have screwed around and gotten their utilities cut off. They've missed important dates. They've forgotten things that were crucial for them. Like, I know somebody who had contested their unemployment and they had an appeal hearing. They missed it. When you miss that hearing, you're done.
That's it.
And they didn't get their unemployment and they wound up owing quite a bit of money to unemployment because of it.
Mm.
And they don't want to hear you've got ADHD, but you do. And it's a real disability and the symptoms are real, even though it's not intentional. Like, I know another ADHDer who it's not funny. It's just, it's irony because of who it was. They got thrown out of their psychiatrist's practice because they missed too many appointments.
Oh, come on.
Hello. Like, if nobody else knows, the psych should know, right? Like,
yeah, that's really ironic.
And they had just gotten diagnosed and started treatment. So it was like, they don't have the coping skills in place yet to keep that from happening. And you're right. Terminating them from your practice.
Right.
How does that work?
That's really sad. And, you know, for people listening, I want to stress that, you know, the medication's just a component. You know, there's a lot that goes into what I do as a coach, but like with mindfulness training and awareness,
yes.
building your awareness over time as you expose yourself to your challenges and as you expose yourself to your coping skills that you develop. The medicine is not like, oh, you take the pill and now you don't have ADHD anymore. It's like, no, it helps me focus.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of the biggest mistakes that I made when I got diagnosed, thinking, like, because the medicine, like, you know how some people have to go through a couple different drugs before they get one that works, and it's,
yeah.
like, this whole process. It wasn't like that for me. When I took the medicine, it worked so well for me, and it alleviated so many symptoms that I thought, oh, you take the medicine and then you're good. Okay, we'll move in right along. And I just went on about my business, not realizing that I didn't take enough time to gain the skills that I needed. And that's something that I'm doing now. So, you know, if you know someone who's being diagnosed for the first time, I couldn't recommend coaching enough, like, because I'm not trying to cast aspersion on the doctors, but the average doctor does not insist that you go learn skills in conjunction with your medicine.
Right.
You tell them you have ADHD, you take your medicine, and that's their primary concern. That will help to alleviate your symptoms. But that's not the whole story. And I don't think that anyone is really taking that as seriously as it needs to be taken. Like, I had a relative who was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. When you get diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, the first thing they do after a diagnosis is they send you to diabetes education training.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn everything you need to do to take care of yourself with diabetes. And if you have a significant change in your diabetes, they send you back again to be re-educated. And that is something that we need. Like, we need a place where they have coaches on staff, as just like they have diabetes educators, there need to be ADHD educators, because just like diabetes, this is a disorder that is affecting every facet of your life. You're talking like it's for me, getting up in the morning and having to go to work is a daily torture, because every day of my life I am tormented by the fact that I might not make it to work on time. That is not okay.
Well, I think, you know, I know from the coaching community that we all work very hard in having some component of education available to our clients, as well as it just comes up in sessions, you know?
Yes.
Which is a great time, actually. Funny you mention it, Renee. I swear, you couldn't have been more perfect in saying all that, because I'm starting a new class on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I wrote that booklet. I'm writing my big book. And I took out of it the booklet, the ADHD, a different hard drive.
Yes.
Which is the education piece that I give to all my clients, or you can just buy it. And I'm taking that book and making a workshop out of it. So for each of the six sections, there's going to be a month long workshop. So I'm just starting that.
Wow.
Yeah, in just 2 weeks. So I'm very excited. Because I think I talk to a lot of people that also just love people with ADHD, and they just, for them to understand it would be everything, you know, just to understand it, because there's so much misunderstanding, which creates the stigma, which creates the shame, which creates the bad relationship, you know. So education is key. Yeah, for sure.
And absolutely.
And you're right. It is interesting that with other things like diabetes and a whole lot of other things, they give you education, like, obviously, you know, here, learn about it. And there's so many people, even with ADHD, that think they're on meds. They think they're good.
Yes. And, you know, and they'll be very disdainful of people who are still symptomatic, like, oh, well, I have ADHD too. And I went and got my medicine and I took care of it. And okay, well, you know, ADHD is a spectrum disorder. Your ADHD and my ADHD don't affect us the same way.
Right. Bingo.
So while you might not have a hard time with time blindness, there's something that you have that maybe I don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a tangent we went down, which is a valuable one. I think it's great.
Go take that class. I'm like, anybody who is listening, if you've never had the time or the inclination to go learn more about what you have, like, you need to know. Because what was it that we were talking about the other day, Jenny? And we were talking about motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Being intentional or not intentional. And when you explained to me that it was a dopamine issue and not an issue of will, like, that's something that people spend a great deal of time beating themselves up over.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be holding yourself responsible for something that is a symptom. And sometimes just knowing that this is a symptom can help you to either power through it, if you can do that day, or put something in place to help you for when you can't. And you can have something external to help. Like, what was it that you said? Rewards. External rewards need to be there in the place of...
Yeah, right. The internal ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I, as always, Renee, could talk to you for hours and hours, but I think we will stop talking now. But I want to thank you for coming on. I want to thank you for clarifying last episode for everybody.
Absolutely.
I would love for people to go and check out your blog. You wrote another great article that I just read. Blackgirllostkeys.com. And what's coming up next? What do you want to tell people to tune into next?
I actually am going to be a regular contributor to a service called Mindfully ADHD, and I'll be sharing details about that on my blog.
Ooh.
It's a great service. It's a monthly subscription, and there are awesome mindfulness practices on there. Casey Dixon, you probably know her. She's a Twitter friend, isn't she?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She runs Mindfully ADHD, and there's some great mindfulness practices on there. I'll be running through some of the practices and sharing how I'm applying them to everyday life.
Oh, I love it. That's so cool. Well, you got to come back and share some of it with it on with us on the show. But
I'll be happy to.
Yeah, I wish you the best. You know, that's wonderful. So I will be on Twitter at Rosie Trellis. We tweet all the time. So thank you.
It's always a pleasure to be on the show with you. And, you know, maybe we can call last episode like the bloopers episode or something. Remember
the bloopers
episode? Yeah.
Maybe I'll rename
it. The last episode. Yeah. The blooper episode.
I think I will.
I'm telling you.
I love it. You know, I do. I love it when you come on with me. You're such a strong, charismatic person. So it's awesome.
Thank you. Same to you, girl. We'll see you soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
That's it for the show, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. And whether you have ADHD yourself or live with or love someone who does or both, remember, we're all in this together, and everybody benefits when we begin to see through the other's eyes.